thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
As Mark says, that we have a God. We have a God that is interested in this gathering. But he's not only interested in this gathering, he's interested in each and every single person in this room tonight. Saved or unsaved, he wants to know you. He wants to know you. But more importantly, he wants you to know him. But let me ask you a question this evening, church. Are you alive for Christ tonight? Are you alive for Christ tonight?
Amen.
Nearly fell down the stairs. God was looking after me. I'll ask this side though. Are you alive for Christ tonight, church? As Mark's already said, my name is Gary Sweetman. I am the assistant minister for the time being in Market Hill Elam, and I'm becoming a missionary to go to Brazil at the end of June. So, since this is a gospel service, I will preach a gospel message. And whether you are here this evening as a believer, a non-believer, a backslider, or you're far away from God, we all have a problem. We all have an issue, and we all have a side to us that sometimes we don't like to admit, and that is our sinful nature. We have this issue, and I'm not going to pony it up. I'm not going to try to make sin something that it's not. And I don't want to be misunderstood. Our sin issue has nothing to do with anyone else other than God. No man can fix this. No amount of money can clear it away. And no good work can fix this issue that we have. And I want to say to you this evening, you cannot offend anyone with your sin other than God. But I'm not going to share news on how to fix this issue. I'm not going to share a plan on how to fix this issue. There's no 12-step program. There's no saving up your Tesco club card pints. I'm going to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with you this evening. And our human nature that needs saving. And we tonight are in need of a Savior. If you can, turn to Ephesians 2 with me, please. And we're going to read from 1 to 10. But are you alive for him tonight, church? Your heading in your Bible may say you're made alive in Christ. Are you alive for him this evening? And maybe you're not alive for him this evening. Would you like to be made alive for him? Maybe you don't know him as your Lord and Savior. Would you like to be alive for Christ tonight? As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were made by natural objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. And it was by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. At the fall, and when sin first entered the world, and disobedience from Adam to Eve to everything else imaginable, we have been in need of a Savior. We have been seeking a Savior. And we look to the world today, we look to our country, and we see it ripping itself apart. We see ideologies that involve wearing your sin as a logo and adding a bit of colour to make ourselves feel just that little bit better. Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, opens up this lovely letter about how God has lovely adopted us. Paul gives thanks for them. But as we come to this section of the letter, Paul reminds the church why they are in need of a saviour. When he uses the word dead, he's not speaking of the physical, which each one here tonight will experience. It's guaranteed, no matter how much moisturizer we try to put on our faces. Death will come to each and every single one of us. And this is why it's such encouraging to see the young folk in here tonight. These young preachers, and these young preachers to be, they never preach about death. But as you get older, and as we go on, we start to think about these things. We start to think about these things more and more and more. But tonight we have a Savior in the Lord Jesus. The death that Paul is speaking about, though, is a sense of alienation from the one who gives life. From the one who knew you in your mother's womb. And the one who adopts you even when you think you have gone too far. You know, I wasn't always a Christian. I had a lovely afternoon telling people a little bit about my story, but I grew up in a Catholic country. I did things to this day that I'm not proud of. I blasphemed the holy name of God. I lived a life for me and only for me. And I live alienated from God. But I always had a sense that something was not right with my life. And we can live in our transgressions and our sins and believe because people tell us with a smile on our faces that it's okay. We can then think that it is okay. And the scriptures clearly speak of a ruler of this world. And that we can follow this God. And he is crafty. He's a crafty God. He doesn't reveal himself like our God, like the God of the Bible. He doesn't show himself. But he directs people's lives more than we think or understand. He makes sin seem normal. He makes disobedience seem like obedience. He will make you self-righteous. And he is deeply in this world this evening. And he causes our alienation from God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, "And even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they can't see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." See, as believers, the gospel through Jesus has been unveiled. And if you were like me and blinded to the God of the Bible, it does take an awful lot for that to be unveiled. It takes a lot to see the light of the gospel in the world that we are living in. But let me tell you something this evening. His light shines in. And when his light shines in, there is nothing greater. The transformation that takes place when you allow Jesus Christ to come into your life is something that has been studied and viewed upon for hundreds of years. And it's just something that people can't explain. It's something that people just can't wrap their heads around. It's something that people just can't understand. What is it about Jesus? What is it about Jesus? What is it about his crucifixion? What is it about his resurrection? Why do so many people write about Jesus? Why do so many people care about Jesus? Because he makes people alive. He transforms lives. He was doing it 2,000 years ago. He's doing it today, and he's going to do it tomorrow. And he could even tonight. If you're not saved here tonight, do it to you as well. He can change your life. You know, just before I came to Jesus and surrendered my life to him, when I used to be dead in my transgressions and sins, I did feel separation. I felt something when I was in the gutter. consumed by this world, and I didn't need glasses to see it or to understand it or to feel it. I didn't need to go to Specsavers. I needed the gospel. I needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I needed to see the light of Jesus. And many of you this evening, I'm assuming, are Christians, but I should not assume. But even as Christians, we have this issue with this word and thought of obedience. And we are in a fallen world because of sin in this world through disobedience. Verse 3, the apostle writes, all of us, all of us also live at one time or another, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, our spirit that Jesus gives us, the Holy Spirit that he has sent has desires, has thoughts, but the flesh also seeks to be satisfied. And when our flesh seeks this, it leads to sin, it leads to transgressions, and it leads to death by alienation from the one who gives life. And this is achieved, and death comes through our separation from God. Our disobedience has to be rectified, because if we don't, we by nature are deserving of wrath, but not any wrath, God's wrath. And how do we get our sight? What optician do we go see? How do we stop gratifying this old flesh of ours? How do we bridge this gap of separation from God? How do we learn and come obedient? The simple fact is that we can't. The simple fact is that we can never bridge that gap. The simple fact is that we will always naturally look to seek to gratify our flesh. And the simple fact is that by nature, we will always be disobedient. I don't know about you this evening, church, but I feel loved by God. I feel loved by him. Not because of anything I've done, because of what he has done for me and my whole family, regardless if they believe in Jesus Christ or not. I feel his love and I feel his mercy. I see his mercy. And the only reason I see this is because salvation is still available today. Salvation is still available tonight. Salvation is still available right now. He has not withdrawn this option, and he will never withdraw it, because his mercy is rich. He is rich in mercy. And he didn't have to send Jesus. He didn't have to send his only begotten Son. But because of his love for his creation, because of his mercy, Jesus stepped into this world and died a death that me and you deserved. He was nailed to the cross. And even as they were nailing the nails into his hands and feet, he showed compassion and forgiveness. And as he hung on that tree, he hung on it for me and you, even when we were undeserving of it. And he still shows us love and mercy. He made us alive with Christ. Are you alive from this evening, church? Have you felt his mercy this evening? Do you understand you have done nothing to deserve this? But yet, he still pours out his mercy. And maybe you haven't felt alive for a long time. Perhaps you've never felt alive for him. Maybe tonight is the night to start living for him. Maybe tonight is the night you start living for him once again. Maybe tonight is the night you stop running away and run towards him. Maybe tonight is tonight you really come alive for Jesus. We are made alive with him. We are risen up with him, and we are seated together with him. And this is done through grace. Not our grace. Not any of the leadership team's grace. Not our parents' grace, not our grandparents' grace, but by God's grace. And that's how we have been saved. It's through His grace. And we get to join in with so many blessings that He has. His mercy and grace is on offer to each person here this evening. Until He comes back, this offer stands. His mercy and grace are not just for the few, but they're for the many. And how can I, as a pastor this evening, show you God's mercy and grace? Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells us that there is riches to His grace, riches that are expressed in Jesus. But I can tell you that because it can point to the cross of evidence of God's love and mercy. I can point to the cross where Jesus was crucified for the sins of the world. And I can point to that cross with insurance of what happened on that cross was for each person in this room this evening. And the cross will never fail. And it never fails. And you can obtain His mercy or grace. There is no good work that you can do to merit this. You can't merit His mercy and grace. Our good works should not be for us looking for a reward. Isaiah 64 verse 4. All of us have become like the one who is unclean. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We are shriveled up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sin sweeps us away. If you think you are sitting here this evening comfortable in your good works, if you think your good works will get you there, if you're sitting here in your own self-righteousness, that you are clean by your good works and your self-righteousness, well, God looks at them as like a filthy rag. And you can't earn your way to heaven. There's nothing you can do to get there. There's no act you can perform. There's no grocery bags to carry for our old ladies. I'm not saying that's wrong. You cannot earn yourself there. There's no act worthy or holy for Him because of His grace, which existed before you even came to be. Before you even came into this world, before you knew God, before you even heard the word grace, God poured out His grace. God seeked that you would know His grace. And He did it through His Son Jesus. But because of His grace, because of what He poured out, there must be a reaction. There must be a response. Because of His grace, there must be a positive response. And that positive response must come in the faith of what Jesus done on the cross. That must come in faith that Jesus was crucified, but rose again 3 days later. Your faith, which has already been provided to you by God. The Apostle Paul writes very clearly, it is by grace you have been saved, true faith. There's no other way. Our faith in Jesus through His death on the cross. And people may say, but sure, anyone could die on a cross. And many people did at the hands of the Romans. Many people were crucified. Many people suffered on a cross. Jesus suffered on a cross. The four Gospels cover His death. The Apostle Paul writes about His death on, the cross. The general epistles that we find in the back of our Bibles write exclusively of the death on the cross. But they also tell us why we must have faith. But they also tell us the reason for our faith. They tell us that after Jesus' death, He rose from the grave. He rose. That's the miracle, that He rose from the grave. And there's enough historic evidence to point that Jesus rose from the grave. This is what should be the motivation for our faith. The reason this should motivate our faith is because you and me can do nothing to earn it. You just like free stuff. Just like when you get stuff free. But it's given to you for free. It's given to each and every single person freely. We are sinful people. We deserve punishment. And we deserve the punishment that Jesus took on the cross. And yet, despite all of this, despite when we wrong him, despite when we disobey him, when we turn our backs on him, when we don't believe his truths, when we fall back into the world, and when we sin against him, he still loves us this evening. And he can do this all through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because if you have faith in him, he will see the Son in you. But you won't be able to boast. And that's the beautiful part. You will not be able to boast. You will not be able to see, I said this, or I did that. On that day of judgment, he won't look at your workbook. He won't look at your deeds. It will only be your faith in Jesus. And it's going to be great. That day in paradise is going to be great because we won't be standing there wondering how each and every single one of us got there. We're all going to know how we got there. We're all going to know that when we look at one another, we're going to say that person had faith in Jesus Christ. And if you want to have faith in him tonight, if you want to have faith and call upon that name, I would encourage you to do that this evening. I would encourage you to do that this evening. But I wonder tonight, is there one who has never called upon that name? One that has maybe came close to saying, Jesus, you are King and Lord of Lords. I wonder if there's one here tonight who has thought about it. Who has lay awake at night thinking of the things of God. If only had the courage to say yes. Well, I tell you, it takes courage, but there's no better reassurance than the name of Jesus. What about the one that used to walk with him? What about the backslider? What about the prodigal? It's time to come home. I'm not going to say anything nice. It's time to come home. It's time to return to the Father. It's time to once again walk with him, to learn of his ways. What is the purpose of salvation that Jesus offers? If we have faith in Jesus and accept this offer, what is the purpose? From our response to God's invite, we are responsible for our own salvation. No man or no woman will be responsible. And you this evening have been told of his love, his grace, his mercy, and his offer of salvation. But when that all comes, you become his handiwork. You are God's handiwork, his creation. No one created you. You are made by God. You have a bigger purpose than you think you do. That's for the saved, the backslider, and the unsaved this evening. And the term Paul is using here in handiwork or workmanship can easily be translated as creation. You are his clay and he is the potter. And he has wonderfully, wonderfully created you this evening. And he loves his creation. He loves his creation so much he gave his one and only son for his creation. And he is a skillful, an intelligent designer, because you're sitting here this evening and all it takes is just you to look around and see his wonderful creation. And I challenge you this evening that when you leave here, to go home and look in the mirror and see his wonderful creation. creation. And if you're living in a life of sin, or maybe you've fallen away, His mercy and grace is still an offer. His love for His creation will never end. But the purpose of your salvation is that you become a new creation this evening. Your response is that you get to share in being a new person and experience true righteousness and holiness through Jesus Christ. If you can, just jump quickly to Ephesians 4:24. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the reaction to our response. A new self. And I'm not talking about some help book. I'm not talking about 10 steps to a new you. I'm not talking about a podcast where you're told how to be a new you in 90 days. I'm preaching about a new creation that will show true righteousness and holiness. That the sin that is in your life will be revealed. Not to me or anyone else in this room, because it can only be revealed to Him. But revealed because He wants you to live a life with Him. And that the things of this world that may seem normal will look maybe a little bit different. The Bible calls this the renewing of your mind through the Holy Spirit. But it's not a process that stops. It's a constant renewing of your mind. But that you will choose to turn your back on sin and turn your back on the world and live in accordance with God's will and character that is righteousness and holiness. But His will and purpose for your life is perfect this evening, church. And He's prepared a work for you. And this is not so that you can get into heaven. Your faith in Jesus can only get there. But He has revealed Himself to you for a greater purpose. Can I just invite the worship team back up, please? Just as we draw to a close, we are all in need of a Savior. From the moment that sin entered into the world, through the disobedience, through Adam and Eve, humanity has been seeking redemption. Yet it is not through our own strength, our own good deeds, or our self-righteousness that we will find salvation. It is through the boundless grace and mercy of God poured out through His Holy Spirit, poured out through His Son, Jesus Christ. And no matter how far you feel away from God this evening, no matter how deep your transgressions or how distant your hearts have wandered, His love remains steadfast. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is the ultimate testimony to His love. A love that does not waver, a mercy that does not run dry. Through faith in Him, we are made alive, church. New creations, called to walk in righteousness and holiness. And not by our merit, but by the transformation power within us. Tonight, whether you're just looking to rekindle that faith once again, a black sider longing for that to come back home, or someone hearing a gospel message for the first time, know that His grace is available to you. His arms are open, church, tonight. His arms are open. And His heart is full of compassion. Inviting you. He invites you this evening into a relationship with Him that brings true meaning and true purpose. To respond to His call with faith. Just let His grace renew your mind. Reshape your heart and guide your steps. Embrace the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And that we may carry this, church, as living testimonies of His grace, His mercy, and this love that will never ever end. Can I just ask everyone to stand? And I'm just going to pray. And the team are just going to lead us. Father God, we just do thank you that you are still working. We do thank you that you are still moving. But Father, I pray this evening for the unbeliever, Father. I pray for the one that may not know you this evening, God. That you will work on their hearts tonight, God. That they will leave here with more questions and seek the answers that they need to mend that heart of theirs, God. That they will lie awake tonight, God. Tormented that they are far away from you, but wanting to turn to a Savior who can save them and truly save them. I pray for the backslider tonight, God. I pray for the one who has walked away from you, God, who knows your ways, knows your mercy, knows your grace, and knows that salvation that you offer. That they may return to you. And not for judgment, not for punishment, but to come back to you for love. The type of love that they once knew. The type of love that they know. And Father, I just thank you for every head bowed here tonight, God. Everyone that's put their faith in you, God. Everyone that calls you Lord and that calls you Savior. That you would unite them in the power of your love through your Holy Spirit and continue to equip them, God, to witness, to bring forth your word, bring forth your mission, and to bring forth everything you have foretold, God. And we pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.